We have started chapter 6 the last time we did. We talked about a few things, giving alms, and then we talked about prayer. We're going to continue with the thought about prayer. And I hope that you learned, I hope that we've all learned that you really do know how to pray. You really do. Because what's in your heart, that's what you pray. And the words don't have to be sanctuary tones or very high and lofty with multiple syllables involved. I have recorded here, I'll read it to you again, but Numbers chapter 12, you can write this down, Numbers 12, verse 13. Aaron and Miriam, that's the brother and sister of Moses, they sinned because they looked at Moses, saw he was weak and worthless, and they said, he's weak and worthless, hey, we're somebody too. They tried to put themselves in position, and so God called them all three. Now there are only three of them, there's not a crowd, just you three into God's presence. And God says, who do you think you are? And a you could tell he was angry. And when the cloud lifted, Miriam had leprosy. Remember? And Aaron looks at Moses and says, sorry, dude. Well, that's a paraphrase. Don't let my sister die this way. Well, it's not up to Moses. So I recorded Moses' prayer here. I'd like to read you his prayer. Heal her now, O God, I beg you. Well, it was pretty simple, wasn't it? How long did it take him to say it? I probably said it slower than he did. Pretty good prayer. Heal her now, O Lord, I beg you. Usually when I want to pray for someone that's sick, I go, oh, God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yuck. And there I go, man. And I don't want to get ahead of myself in the study. But I'm telling you, I'm sort of convinced that I keep thinking longer the prayer, more he's going to do it. Because something inside of me knows I am not worthy. And I know he shouldn't be listening. Why would he? And I catch myself trying to get his attention. Have you ever caught yourself trying to make God love you? Some of you do it. It's something we do without even thinking that we do it. You want him to love you. He does. But you don't think that way, and so you think, Lord, boy, I've been good. I've been doing everything you said, and my shoes are kind of neat today, and oh, could you help me? It's almost like if I could get on his good side, maybe he'll listen to me and he could help. Jesus said, you go quietly away, all alone, in sincerity and in secrecy. And you pray to your Father, which is in heaven, who sees in secret, and he will reward you openly. Meaning, he's going to answer you. He loves you. You don't have to buy it. Earn it, rent it from him, do things to get into a position to where you're allowed to talk to him. Jesus died for me and you. And Jesus says, now all you need to do is go privately away, quietly, all by yourself, get in secret, and your Father will hear and reward you openly. Now, he also tells us this. Don't be like, verse 8 says, don't be like the hypocrites. The unclean, the heathen. Don't be like them. For your Father, Abba, Papa, he knows what things you need before you ask him. He knew you would need it 3 months ago. You just found out about it this morning. He knew. He knew what you needed before you asked. He wants you to come to him as a father. It's not a game. He wants you to rely on him and to trust him. I'll show you what I mean. Now, what happens is, Jesus says, don't pray repetitious prayers or the long prayers like the hypocrites, thinking they're going to be heard for their much speaking. It is true. The strength of prayer is not determined by the length of prayer. And I think we don't believe that. But I see in Scripture and in your life and in mine, the truth is the strength of prayer is from a humble heart. The length of prayer has nothing to do with anything. But you can take some verses out of context, which we've seen none, and the Lord could say, couldn't you tarry with me 1 hour, you lazy bum? I mean, we don't say that, but that's almost what we feel Jesus meant. He didn't mean that at all. He did not mean that at all. You got to understand, He loves this lazy bum. And He says, oh, Peter, I know it's tough, but Peter, Satan is long to sift you like wheat. I pray for you. Peter, be strong. It's hard. The Spirit is willing. I know you want to be what I've called you to be. I know you want to be doing these things. But the flesh is so weak. Watch out, Peter. Stay on your guard. He was telling him, Peter, James, John, you guys, be careful. I love you. He wasn't mistreating them like it's taught. So he says this. Pray along these lines. Or after this manner. Here is a pattern. Now, what follows is what people commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer. Well, it's really not His prayer. He couldn't pray it. Some of it He couldn't pray because He never sinned. He was showing you and I how to pray. The disciples in the book of Luke say, Lord, teach us to pray. And so what did He do? He said, all right, well, buy this $30 book. Meet with me for the next 12 weeks. Every night at 3 in the morning. So you'll make sure that you're beating yourself. And you're miserable. Because if you're not miserable, it's not holy. And I'll teach you to pray. What did He say? They said, teach us to pray. He says, you pray along these lines. Someone has asked, is it wrong to pray what we call the Lord's Prayer? Is it wrong to recite it? Is that vain repetition? Some churches will have you all together, say it out loud together. I've done that. Is it wrong? Yes, if my heart's not in it. If my heart's not there, and I'm thinking about lunch, our Father, amen. I can do that, by the way. I was raised in a church where I learned it in Latin. So I can still do it in Latin. It means nothing to me in Latin, but I can do it. I'm sure that'll get me past the gate. Peter will go, yo, it's you. Whoa. Can't you do stuff in Latin? Oh, yeah, Peter. I can count up to 2. Is it wrong to pray the Lord's Prayer? Not at all. It's probably good for you. But it needs to be from a heart that's in tune and recognizes, what am I saying? See, he says, you pray along these lines or in this manner. And the first thing he shows us is this: our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's giving me a pattern. And the first part of the pattern, I notice, is worship and reverence when I begin to fall down before God secretly. He's my Father. Jesus uses a term in the New Testament that no one is used to using. They did not. The Jews did not call God Abba, meaning Papa, or an enduring term for Father. They called God Yahweh, which probably literally means, Tetragrammaton, if you put in the vowels where they belong, it literally means I am that I am. They call God Jehovah, Jehovah Nishi, or Jehovah Jireh, or whatever term they put on afterwards. God Almighty. They call Him El Shaddai, the All-Powerful One. Elohim, God Almighty in plural form, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But no one ever called him Abba. And Jesus says, when you pray, pray along these lines. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be holy. The strength of prayer, as I said before, is not determined by the length of prayer. Get that out of your head. Study the public prayers of Jesus. Public prayers. When you study the public prayers of Jesus, you should be shocked to find that they are amazingly short. Kind of like the one I read you from Moses. Moses' prayer, heal her now, O God, I beg you. Jesus' prayers publicly were short, amazingly short, and they were also to the point. Me, I sort of have to build up to it. Well, Lord, it's nice talking to you. I love your hair. And God, this is good and that's good. And things are going well over here. And you know what? Thank you for that. And by the way, it's like I got to slip it in on him. He probably may not even notice I'm asking for more than I should have. We need to learn how to pray. We know how to pray, but we need to learn it. So he says, here's a pattern. Worship and reverence. Now, I've heard people say, because the word Abba does mean Papa, you can come on in and say, Daddy, I want an allowance raise. You know, you need to worship God and show reverence to Him. He is my Father in Jesus Christ. He is in heaven, and His name is to be hallowed or made holy. That's God. That's the term He uses. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, if you're taking notes, right? Ecclesiastes 5, 2. When you come before God, he says, 5, 2 says, don't be rash with your mouth. Let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Do you think that way when you come in to pray? He is in heaven, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Don't be rash. Be calm. Let your words be few. Maybe that's what Jesus was teaching us. You know, the Lord's Prayer, or what we call the Lord's Prayer, is 65 words long. He didn't leave one stone unturned when he prayed that prayer. It covered everything that is necessary. 65 words long, and you can pray it in less than 30 seconds. Or if you really take it out, a little less than a minute, if you really go slow. But it says everything you need to say. That's why many churches will have you say it together. Got to be from my heart, or it is vain repetition. It has to be from a heart that says, Our Father, which art in heaven, your name is to be made holy. So the first thing we see in prayer, if you're looking for a pattern, is worship and reverence of who God is and what God is all about and where He is, as a matter of fact, in heaven. The next thing we read, excuse me, is Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So not only do we have a pattern of worship and reverence to the Lord, but we also begin after that by seeking God's purposes. Worship and reverence of God Almighty, and then looking to Him for His purposes. There are two kinds of hearts on the earth. I have to determine which one mine is. Two kinds of hearts. One says, Thy will be done, and one says, My will be done. That the only two kinds of hearts that there can ever be on this earth today. Born again or not, I notice that even being born again, sometimes I can have a heart that says, My will be done. Be still and know that I am me. Pay attention, I'm talking to you, and I need this, and it has to be now, and if you don't come through, I don't even know if I'll walk with you anymore. My will be done. No, the pattern is seeking God's purposes. An example of my will be done. is in Isaiah 38, if you're taking notes. Isaiah chapter 38. Hezekiah is a good king. He is a wise king. He is a strong king. The Lord is with him and has blessed him, and Israel is doing so well. And Isaiah, a word from the Lord comes to Isaiah. Isaiah goes to the king and says, King, wrap up all your personal stuff. You're going to die. Oh, bummer. And so the king, who's sick and in bed, rolls away from the prophet, faces toward the wall. The prophet kind of feels bad and leaves, Isaiah. And the king starts saying, Oh, Lord, I've been good. I've been doing what you want. I don't want to die. I'm not ready to die. I still have things I want to accomplish. I still got things I'd like to do. My will be done. Please give me a break. Could you let up? Just let my will be done in this particular case. And God said, Okay. Because see, there are two hearts. Now, he loved God. He just got a little out of whack. He was sick and he just wasn't paying attention and prayed, not thy will be done, my will be done. And so God said, Isaiah is not even home yet. Yes, sir. Go back and tell him, I've changed my mind. I'm going to answer his prayer the way he wants. Okay. Isaiah heads back. God's going to give you 15 more years. 15. You say, well, that God, he is so merciful. Do you know, in the next 15, and his life was so good up to that point. In the next 15 years, it fell apart around him. In the next 15 years, the kingdom became so bad, so disobedient to God, that they were now set up for the Babylonian invasion and final captivity of the land, to be destroying Jerusalem and taking captives away for 70 years. See, Hezekiah should have said, Thy will be done, whatever you say. Not only did that happen, but he also had a son during that time. He had other children, but he had a son. And the son's name was Manasseh. Do you know that Manasseh grew up to become the most wicked king Israel ever had? He almost destroyed that country. Two hearts. One that says, Thy will be done. One that says, My will be done. Wisdom. Jesus says, here's a pattern. Worship and reverence the Lord your God, who loves you. And then seek God's purposes. Jesus says it this way. Thy kingdom come. We want your reign and your rule to come upon the earth. Thy will be done. Whatever you say, however you choose it, that's what we ask you. In earth as it is in heaven. And then he goes on to seek God's provisions. After it's worship and reverence to the Lord, then it's seeking the purposes that God has planned. Then it goes on to seeking God's provisions for us as individuals. And he says this, it's a simple prayer. Give us today our daily bread. God's provisions. Notice God's word. Now, this is hard for you and I, and this is not meant to offend you. So it's God's word. It's not my fault. If you're going to send letters, sign them. I want to know who you are. You need to know now. If you send me a letter and it's unsigned, I usually read it for the jokes in it and throw it in the trash because I know Satan wrote it. But if you sign it, then I know your heart is sincere and you're really wanting to straighten me out, and I'll read it and really give it some thought. But if it's unsigned, Mr. Anonymous is always brave and bold. But Mr. and Mrs., whoever signs, they really want to help. And so, anyway, why did I go there? God bless you. I'm just trying to defend myself before we start. Do you notice the Bible says, and this is hard, just for one moment, don't pretend you're like African. Just pretend you're not American. This will make sense to you. Notice the Bible says daily, not monthly or quarterly or yearly. Now, how in the world could people function without having a quarterly provision or a yearly? So Some people now have 3 yearlies and 5 yearlies all stashed up. And Jesus says, give us today our daily bread. Why? I think God wants us dependent upon Him now. We are. I think He just wants us to remember it. You see, if He gave me stuff on a yearly basis, I'd probably pray yearly. Okay, God, and give us this year our next year's stuff. I'll talk to you later. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. The psalmist with a heart that is humble says, two things I required of you, two things I have asked of you. Deny me them not before I die. Please do these two things for me. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Don't let me waste my life and don't let me lie it away. And give me neither poverty nor riches. Please don't make me poor and please don't make me rich. Feed me with food enough for the day. The King James says convenient. You look it up and it's daily necessity. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord or of my God in vain. If you give me too much, I won't even pay attention to you. I'll deny you. I won't need you. It's not that that's true. It's just that that will be my attitude. If you give me more than I need, I won't pay attention. Now, if you'd like to see proof that this is true, take a look at the United States of America. Because we have been given so much, our tendency is to forget where it has come from. It's not wrong to have it. It's a blessing to have it. It's a thrill. But we have forgotten how we got it. We have forgotten our Father which art in heaven, whose name is to be holy and made holy. We have forgotten to seek His purposes. We are forgetting to seek His provisions for our lives. Remember where it comes from and who takes care of you. Somebody said, I'm out of work and I don't know what to do and I'm praying because I need to feed my family. You know, the truth is, we told them God has been feeding your family and will continue. The bad thing is that means you're not needed. Now, He'll let you work if you're serious about it. But the truth is, God has been doing it all along. Those of you who work hard 40 hours, we love you, but you see, it's God paying you. God is giving to me. And He can change it. He can move it. He can bring it up. He can take it out. He can just do whatever He likes because I have said to Him, Lord, whatever You say, Your will. If it's time for me to go, I don't know if I want another 15 years. That's a lot of income tax. You know, you think about that. If this is what God wants for my life, to live in Idaho, that's great, perfect. Like May through October. The rest of the time you just put on really heavy stuff. Right? Whatever God says. Seeking God's provisions. Daily. See, He wants you and I to come to Him. Now, if you would like to see it in the Bible, you always look for examples in the Bible. When the Bible tells you something, go look and see how they did it or what they're doing. Always let the Bible explain itself to you. That's the best way to study your Bible. If God says, thou shalt not steal, then you can go look through the Bible and see if someone stole, what happened. If someone didn't steal, what happened. You can go and see because God always shows you. And so when He says, give us today our daily bread, what do you think of? Daily food. Daily, every day. What do you think of? Yes. The wilderness. Manna. That means in our language, what is it? We used to say that every time we'd come into the Bible college food line. We'd go, oh, manna. What is that? Because you couldn't tell. The blessing was, you could never tell if it was leftovers, because it all looked the same all the time. Do you know that God told them, what I want you to do is I want you to go outside, and He's not going to pour it in your tent, but you go on outside and don't step on it, though. It'll be right at the door. Just like in our country, it's so easy to get food. He says, you go on out and you pick enough for how long? Today. Why? Because I don't want to feed you tomorrow if I'm in a bad mood. I'll let you know. No. Because I'll just give you, you can trust me. I want you to learn, you can count on me. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. He says, put me to the test. Not a foolish test, but put me to the test. You can count on me. You just get food for today. And so some people didn't trust him, did they? What did they do? Well, collect some for today and tomorrow. Well, what they ate was fine. What they left overnight was worms the next day. You couldn't eat those. Well, they do now, French fries and stuff. But, you know, they didn't. You couldn't. You threw that out. It was no good. What was God teaching you and me and all His children? You can trust me. You can always trust me. And what did they do? Worms. Oh, no, we can't eat today. Not true. You go outside and there is the, what is it? Right there. For you to eat again. And how long is He going to feed me this way? Read your Bible. 40 years in the wilderness, and how many days did He miss giving them food? None. Did they learn? No, they're just like us, God bless them. He could feed me 17 straight years, and on the 18th year starting, I go, what am I going to do? I don't know. There's no food. What will I do? That quickly, it's gone. He said, I want you to trust me. So Jesus said, here's a pattern. You pray along these lines. And part of that would be, Lord, the provisions for today, we ask of you. It'll make you feel better with all the threats coming, won't it? Woo, we're really going to put him to the test. I wonder if he can handle it. I wonder if he can come through. Because have you ever heard anybody say, I really trusted God and he let me down? I have never yet in my life heard that. But I've heard testimony after testimony when people said, I knew he would let me down. I knew he would. I knew it was impossible, but yet I trusted him, and he did it. God is never going to let you down, ever. Watch and see. Sometimes he puts me in a place and you in a place where we can't do anything but watch and see. So thank him for these hard times, because you watch and see and you go, oh, it worked. And he goes, see, now if you can trust me there, can you trust me for life? Can you trust me for a job? Can you trust me for a family? Can you trust me for that wife, that husband? Can you trust me for those kids? And you go, no. Because we're hard-hearted. So we ask, give us today our daily bread. And then we start to seek and stay in his pardon. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know something? You may not have ever thought this way, but you know that forgiveness of sins, and you can write this down and go check, forgiveness of sins is found in no other religion on the earth. Wow. They tell you how to work through it, how to come back and do it again. That it's not really sin at all, that it's just bad karma and it'll take care of itself and you'll become perfect nothing after a while. No religion on the earth offers you forgiveness of sins except Jesus Christ, God the Father through Jesus. And Jesus says, forgive us our debts, our transgressions, as we forgive those who are indebted to us or transgressed against us. We're talking about sin. What an interesting thought, huh? You know something? He says this. After we seek his pardon, and you notice, he forgives me, so he fully expects me to turn around and forgive others. You're going to be just like your Father, which is in heaven. You're going to forgive them. I have a little saying here. I know it's old. Some of you older ones will recognize it, but we are told that we should forgive. We ask our Father, forgive us as we forgive others. When people fail you or sin against you, Remember the old saying, don't rub it in, rub it out. Erase it. Forget it. If you could do that, do you know how much healthier some of you would be today? Do you know how much more at peace you would be if you would forgive as you yourself have been forgiven? And so Jesus says, you pray along these lines. Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us or have sinned against us. And then we start to seek His protection. Notice this. And do not lead us into testing. The word temptation means into a time of testing. Well, you know, doesn't the Bible say trials and testings, you should consider them all joy? Aren't they good for you? Is the Bible contradicting itself like people teach? You know something? This prayer He's giving you a pattern of is teaching you to be humble. It would really be weird for you to say, and bring on the test, Lord, because boy, I've been working out. I'm hot today. Bring it on. Come on. Any test you want to send, me and you. No, humility says, and Lord, don't test me. Lead me not into testing. Humility. It's a prayer of humility, looking for His protection. And don't lead me into testing or temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You protect us, Lord. We're seeking God's protection. Worship and reverence, seeking God's purposes, seeking His provisions for us, seeking His pardon and remain and wanting to be like Him and pardoning others, and then seeking His protection. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Yours. It's your kingdom. It's your power. It's your glory. All is for the Lord God forever. He's given us a pattern. Some of you that had children at one time when they were young, or maybe even you as a believer, when you were young in the Lord, you would say to the child, okay, let's say our prayers. And you're at the dinner table and they're little bitty. And you'd say, okay, now you say this with me. And you say, oh God, thank you for this food. And the young one would repeat that. Oh God, thank you for this food. Good, everybody clap. What a smart boy. You're 20 years old, you got it. Right? And then pretty soon, they don't have to repeat it after you. You say, now would you pray? And they go, oh God, thank you for this food, amen. And you go, that's cute. They're learning to pray. You've given them a pattern. But it does happen sooner or later that they'll do something like this, unexpected. Oh God, thank you for this food and please bless my teacher. What happened? You've given them a pattern and they're starting to grow up and now they are starting from their hearts to add. The pattern is there. God has given us here a pattern. Teach us to pray. Here's a pattern. Bob, you can pray along these lines. And soon I'm going, and Lord, please don't forget we need parking. You're growing up now. You are actually starting to, from your heart, add to this. The pattern is there. Can you repeat this? Yes, from your heart, you certainly can. It would be good for you to say, thy will be done. Our Father which art in heaven. But now you're going to begin from your heart to also say, and Lord, I have a friend who really is struggling. Please strengthen my friend. And God is pleased. He's taught you a pattern. Now He says, He's growing. They're growing. They're starting to come up with their own. It happens, you know. The Lord's Prayer. And then He says this, you know, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, are we talking about a works trip? Well, that means you're not saved anymore? I don't think He's talking about salvation. I don't think salvation comes into issue here. He's calling Him your Father. If He's your Father, you are in the kingdom. He's talking about, I think basically the way we would say it is, the fellowship, not salvation. I really believe that's what we're referring to when Jesus is telling you, your Father will not forgive you. Meaning, my dad sometimes would say, you know, your attitude is no good. You'll have to go into your room. You come out when you've had a heart change. Is He still my Father? Yes. Does He still love me? Yes. But fellowship has been broken. Well, we're still related, but he's not going to allow me to get away with that. And your father is, and I think we're not talking about a salvation, we're talking about a fellowship concern here. Now look, what this prayer does, it helps you to get out of yourself. I'm not talking about an out-of-body experience. It helps you to get away from you. You know, sometimes when you're feeling tired, you could stop and say, or when you're needing food, you say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. My family needs it, but you know, Lord, I know there are others in the congregation who need it, and I want to remember to pray for us. Give all of us. It gets you out of yourself. Lead us not into testing or to trials. Lord, I don't want to be led into trials. Humbly, I let you know I'm weak. Now, if you take me into there, then you've got your will be done. But I'm asking, don't lead me into trials, because I know that I'm weak. Humbly, I look to you. If I go into trials, then I look to you for the strength and the whatever he wants for it. But you'll notice that it kind of gets us out of ourselves, away from ourselves. We're bored. We're depressed. Frustrated, impatient. We waste a lot of time. We have mixed up priorities. Why? Bottom line, I think Jesus' little pattern here shows us we are into ourselves. That's why. The next time you're starting to feel like nobody loves you, and you may be right, serve somebody else. Go minister to someone. Use your hands, your feet. Take you and serve them. You won't have time to be depressed, to be impatient, to be frustrated, because you'll be using what you've got for someone else. We need to get into the kingdom of God. Now, by that I mean if you're born again, you're in the kingdom. But you and I need to get into it. With all that we are, we need to really, it's like getting into football, getting into baseball, getting into those hobbies and those fun things that we get into. We need to get into the kingdom and get behind it. What does God plan? What are his purposes? What's he doing? Let's dive in and get behind that. That will lift you up above the cares and the pettiness of the world around you. If you focus on the world around you, the only thing you could possibly get from that is more worry, more depression, more frustration, more anger, more bitterness. You've got to say, your kingdom come, your will, whatever you say. And it takes you above the cares that are yours. And so he says, you pray along these lines from your heart. And forgive. Be people that are forgiving. We must be forgiving just as our Father's forgiving. And so I'll say it again as we close. When someone sins against you, don't rub it in. Rub it out. Forget it. God has forgiven you. You now forgive everyone. It doesn't matter how many times or who. Let it go. You'll be free. And you'll remain able to serve at that point. Forgive them. And remember, as he talks about in verses 14 and 15, understand, he's not talking about taking your salvation from you. He's talking about the fellowship that is broken when you and I won't forgive others. Be forgiving. Be loving. Remember to cry out to God. Ask God to change your heart. Ask God for these very things. Just as Jesus gave us the pattern, we can learn how to pray. Let's bow our heads together.